Hugo yelled out, but it was too late. "It needs ink," he said. He quickly opened a bottle nearby and put a few drops in the tiny bottle in the automaton's hand. The children watched as the clockwork gears and levers inside the man began to engage. They whirred and turned and spun. Hugo's heart raced. He didn't care anymore that Isabel was sitting next to him. It didn't matter at all. The only thing that mattered now was the message. A cascade of perfect movements, with hundreds of brilliantly calibrated actions, coursed through the mechanical man. The key tightened a spring connected to a series of gears that extended down into the base of the figure. There, the last gear turned a series of brass discs with precisely cut edges. Two little hammer-like contraptions came down and trailed along the edges of the notched discs, rising and falling as the discs steadily turned. The actions set in motion by the little hammers were then translated back up through a series of rods that led into the man's torso. There, the moving rods silently turned other mechanisms in the shoulder and the neck. The shoulder affected the elbow, and as the elbow engaged, it sent other movements in a chain reaction down into the wrist and finally the hand. Hugo and Isabel watched, wide-eyed in wonder, as very cautiously the man's miniature hand began to move. Isabel and Hugo held their breath. The mechanical man dipped the pen into the ink and began to write. The children tried desperately to read it, but there were no letters, no words, no sentences, just random disconnected markings. The mechanical man wasn't writing anything. Hugo almost took the pen out of its hand because he was so upset. The automaton was not fixed. There must have been something Hugo had missed. He had failed. "Give me my notebook," Hugo said fiercely to Isabel. Isabel, startled by his intensity, reached into her pocket and handed it to him. He quickly grabbed the notebook out of her hands and did what he had wanted to do for a long time. Feverishly, he checked his work against his father's drawings. He had done everything right. It should be working. Suddenly, Hugo felt stupid for thinking he could fix it, and especially for imagining there would be a letter from his father waiting for him. All his work had been for nothing. Hugo felt broken himself. He stalked off to a dark corner of the room, put the notebook down on a shelf, and buried his head in his hands. But the mechanical man didn't stop what it was doing. It kept dipping the pen into the ink and making more scratches on the paper. Isabel stayed where she was, watching as these markings accumulated on the page one after the other. The mechanical man's movements were so lifelike that its head even turned toward the inkwell as it dipped the pen for more ink. And then something incredible happened. Isabel gasped. Hugo turned to look at her and then ran over. He saw it immediately. The mechanical man hadn't just been scribbling. The lines were all coming together, like something in the distance moving into focus. The mechanical man hadn't been writing. It was drawing. It created an image that Hugo recognized immediately. Shivers ran down his spine. That brings us to the end of the story. Now you know how the mysterious drawing I mentioned at the beginning came to be discovered. It had been hidden inside the clockworks of a well-loved machine, waiting to be released by the turn of a stolen key. Here, the curtains close, and we can fade to black. But another story begins. Because stories lead to other stories, and this one leads all the way to the moon.